And welcome back to Studio CPO. This is Stephen Buck, President and CEO of Care Providers Oklahoma, and I am really excited about my guest today. Haley Thompson, I am so glad to see you. Welcome to our podcast.
Thank you so much, and I am extremely honored that I get to be a part of this. I'm very surprised to have the request from you, but first of all, I've always appreciated the work the Care Providers of Oklahoma have done for our state, for my family, and it has always been an honor to work with you, Steve. You've been great to work with through the years.
So. Well, thank you. The feeling is very mutual. I won't say how many years Haley and I go back, but it's been more than a minute that you and I have had a chance to work with each other. Is that a fair way to say it?
I like that.
Yeah, it's been more than a minute.
I just had a birthday, March 13th. And trying to think of how long ago it was I worked at the Corporation Commission, but that is a long time ago.
Which is from when you and I first connected, right?
That's right.
So it's been a number of years, but I'm delighted to have you today. I think you will be a great guest. You mentioned the fact that this has impacted you personally, and we're going to get to that in a little bit downstream because that's one of the things I want to explore. But first of all, if you don't mind, share a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Well, my name's Haley Thompson. I work for the Regional University Systems of Oklahoma and have the honor of representing the Russo Board of Regents at the state capitol for six universities. They actually work with six universities. That would be UCO, ECU, Northeastern, Northwestern, Southeastern, and Southwestern. So if you think about all over the state and right in the middle, I work with four-year universities.
Yeah, so let me make sure I captured that. So you've got Edmond, that's
yes.
University of Central Oklahoma. You got Southwestern.
Yes.
That's Weatherford.
Yes.
Southeastern would be Durant.
Yes.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
East Central would be in Ada.
Correct.
And then Northeastern is in Tahlequah.
Correct. Yes.
Did I miss any?
That was five. I'm trying to think of the other one you missed, but you are correct in all those locations.
Oh, Northwestern and Alba.
Oh, thank you.
That's the one I missed.
That's right. God's country. That's
absolutely
right.
You got that right. You got that right. So you mentioned regional university systems and used the term RUSO.
Mm-hmm.
So the regionals have a very unique mission as it relates to higher education. So
Correct. So
why do we have a RUSO system, and what is really that area of emphasis you see in the universities that you represent?
So the RUSO Board of Regents was actually created by our state constitution. It's kind of an interesting timing right now for me to get involved in policy because their main purpose and why they were created at the time was for workforce, actually. You know, when the state was became a state, there was a need for teachers and teacher colleges throughout the state. So the RUSO schools were created to help build the teacher workforce in those areas. Right now, it's kind of, like I said, an interesting time because the main challenge for our state and for our businesses and for our economy is workforce. And so we play a very important role throughout the state, especially in those regional areas that need that assistance in growing nurses and teachers. So that is my main focus, is supporting policy and working on with the legislature on how can we address the needs for the state.
So the regional system is an important element of my family history. My mother and father and sister both went to Southwestern. My brother-in-law went to Northwestern. My oldest child graduated from Northeastern, and she's a teacher. And then one of my twins is currently a junior at Southwestern, and she will be a teacher. So I understand the value these regional universities play. You mentioned healthcare as one of the priorities, and my guess is your agenda. Your time has been very dominated by some of the ARPA grants that many of your universities received as they work specifically in the healthcare space, right?
Correct.
I mean, there are some new developments. I know Southwestern is building a new nursing lab, I think.
Correct.
What are some of the things that we're beginning to see in the area of health and the emphasis that the Russo schools are doing there?
Well, I believe that there's been some really important decisions. I've only been in my role, just so you know, for a little bit over a year. So this is my second session. So some of those ARPA funds had already been distributed to some of those universities. I just really want to say how much I appreciate the leadership and the processes that took place over at the state legislature. That was a huge project for them to take on and decide where those funds are allocated. They made some very important decisions, and it's been amazing.
I want to say specifically thank you to the speaker designate, Kyle Hilbert.
Yes.
Representative Hilbert was very instrumental, as was his colleague and Senator John Haste. They kind of championed this healthcare space. So I'm sorry to interrupt you but those two individuals were so instrumental, along with all the other members of the body.
I agree. We are so blessed in our state to have these incredible leaders and legislators to get that done. But as far as healthcare for on the education or higher ed front, there's just such a need for nurses, as you know, and people in your world with caregivers and care providers that just even the numbers, we don't even have enough people in the state to fill these positions. And then some of the processes that we have through higher ed and also just challenges for our type of student. Our student is a middle income to lower income type student. We have very affordable tuition and fees for our schools. And so we fit a really awesome niche for turning out that type of workforce. And so coming up with policies and fixing processes have been our main goal in trying to help the healthcare community for Russo. So,
well, I'm really excited. I think that we are on the cusp, or I believe we are on the cusp of really understanding the value of linking all of our educational institutions together so that someone can go through high school, can have an interest in a field, maybe connect with their local career tech, get that initial certification, maybe the regional junior college, then advance into your regionals. I think it's a really exciting time, but we've got to catch up in a hurry. Oklahoma is 46th per capita in the number of RNs in our state. So I appreciate the work you're doing in that area very much because it's desperately, desperately needed.
It is, and we are working in that direction. It's been great to work with partnerships with Career Tech and community colleges. And like I said, there's been a lot of work with the state regents as well. The Chancellor, Jared Job, do a really good job. But just trying not only through the legislature, but looking at what can we do as a system for higher ed to have processes to where you have qualified people that are coming out of these positions, but looking at what can we do to streamline those processes. And I do feel we're in the right, going the right direction.
So I think that's a great pivot point for our conversation. As I mentioned, you and I have known each other for a minute. We've worked collaboratively on many issues, but as is frequently the case, our professional relationships kind of centered in on what your own family was experiencing as your parents aged. They had to transition level of care. And I hope you don't mind me saying, I mean, you and I developed a more personal rhythm as you and I had conversations about what might be next as they entered the caregiving space for the members I represent. And so I wanted to spend a couple of minutes just thinking through and giving you the opportunity as a recent consumer of the system. What did you learn individually as you navigated this as the child of somebody needing first skilled nursing care and then more intensive long-term care? What do you wish that the facilities that served your family, what do you wish they would have known about some of the pressures on you as a child, as helping make care decisions for your parents? Are there any reflections you have on perhaps how that transition in your life, and it's a significant transition, could have gone better?
So first I wanted to tell you that I did tell my father that I was doing this.
Great. Okay.
Because I felt like if I was going to talk about their personal, you know, journey, I needed to get his permission. He does have dementia, so whether or not he remembered the conversation,
sure.
But he was extremely supportive of it, because my parents, it was a really trying time for us. So my mother had kidney disease and really struggled with that, had to have an amputation, actually, mm-hmm. too. And things progressed really quickly. My dad's dementia, we think, happened quite a long time ago, but we didn't pick up on it.
Sure.
But with my mom's health challenges, it seemed to make his dementia progress.
Mm-hmm.
And so we ended up having more challenges come up so quickly within the last 5 years that made us have to start to step in. So I think the thing to remember is that most of us have no clue what to do.
Yeah.
I think for people that are in your field, they do it every day. And so for them, the processes, they've learned the hiccups and where the problems are and how to navigate through them. For people that have never had to deal with challenges with aging parents, you have no idea, first of all, what is going on with their health. You do not understand the processes, and you do not understand the levels of care or even how to navigate the financial aspects or the care aspects. So I think that's something important when you have new families coming in to keep in mind, is you have to remember they have no idea. You're using terms they don't understand.
Did you hear any acronyms?
There are a lot of acronyms.
There are.
And being in, you know, I have a background in regulatory and I have a background in policy. There's some of your acronyms, you know, it's like, oh, I wonder if that's the same as the other.
And in many cases, it's not, right? I know.
So, and I'm not going to claim that I have any more intelligence than others, but I will say, having a background in policy, I thought I would be able to navigate it better. But a lot of the processes and the policies and the rules and things that cause the challenges do not make sense. And so it makes it even more of a challenge. And I think it's important to also know that it's also an emotional time. So mm-hmm. not only are you dealing with the health, the scariness of potentially losing a parent, and the long haul of you know, working with hospitals and insurance, and then the financial side, but then you've got the emotional side of your family mourning this long process as well, and family dynamics. My family's a very strong, educated group of people, and so it's just a challenge that needs to be remembered. So
there's probably ebbs and flows of fatigue, right? So maybe as a family member, maybe on a few days you might be a little bit short-tempered because you're fatigued from this process, you're scared, all of that wrapped up, right?
I will say, you know, just last week, you know, my father, he went to the hospital, and it's kind of normal for us, but his dementia has been so bad. It seems like when he gets just a little sick, it causes the dementia to get worse.
Mm-hmm.
And so he acts out of character. And my sisters, you know, they both live out of state, and I'm it. So I texted and I called them and I cried, and my sister came down and she knew she had to relieve a little bit of the stress. So you bet. I mean, it's the most trying thing to go through. I agree.
Now, as you've navigated this process, you no doubt have met many different caregivers, all levels, from the building administrator to the frontline aides, dietary staff. And you have a professional position to where now you work in workforce development. You've talked about that earlier. When you think about those staff members that really made an impact on you as a family member, What have been the characteristics that, as you walked away from those engagements, you might say, boy, I really appreciate Betty because she was blank. Fill in that blank for me.
I think it's important to note that any of those caregivers or anyone within the healthcare system, I truly believe that God sent them to me.
So it's a mission-driven career.
It is.
At least for a moment.
You've been placed there. I don't think that they realize that everything they're doing and saying, what an awesome gift that they have to literally everything that they say and do impacts the family. That is huge. So I hate to put that on them, but they've been truly doing what God's work. As far as things that have helped me, I think knowing that I'm on their side and that there's a partnership is really important. I have three specific nurses that I work with at my dad's facility, and they've been there for 2 years with me. One of them's been there for 13. I have her cell phone number.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I don't know if I recommend that for everybody, but we've gotten to know each other so well, and we've texted each other at night. And I mean, there are times I'm in meetings or I'm in a committee meeting and my father's having a hard time and being able to communicate. So communication is very important, especially directly with who's working with my dad.
Mm-hmm.
And that consistency of them knowing my father and my parents and my family and how we work. It really is a partnership. But it's not only with the nurses, but also with the administrative staff. I know that executive director well. I know the challenges. Right now we're having challenges with billing, and we sat and worked together through it. And and we're going to figure it out, because I have to say, Medicaid is a strange animal and hard to navigate. And I'm very thankful that they're willing to work through that with us. So that partnership, constant partnership, communication sometimes is challenging depending on what else is going on at the center.
Right.
So communication is really, really important, I think, through the process. So.
Well, I want to say thank you for sharing your thoughts on that. It's extremely important, and this won't surprise you that it has been a very challenging field ever since COVID, and has always been before, but it was seemed to be heightened with COVID. Our sector and those healthcare heroes who do work every day have been ground zero. So I think it's important for you to emphasize those areas that make a difference and continue to make a difference for you as a family member. As we transition into some closing thoughts, if you don't mind, I'm going to shift gears a little bit because you have been a person who has held many different leadership-oriented positions. And I'm really interested in sharing with my audience, this is kind of a routine question I will ask, which is, on days that are hard, what is a leadership axiom or a grounding thought that gets you through the day? And you've alluded to faith a little bit. So my guess is that faith is very eccentric to you. But on a given day, what do you fall back on and say, I've got this, I can get through this?
Well, that's a really challenging question, because there, I'm thinking back to when we were in the thick of it, especially with my parents. Mm-hmm. I had a lot of personal things going on, and then yet I had a lot of professional challenges going on at the same time. I would agree with you. It is probably my faith that mm-hmm. I turn back to. I struggle with anxiety myself, mm-hmm. and so, you know, I think back to the stories of the Bible and about what God says about being anxious and mm-hmm. turning to Him. Because sometimes when you're in the middle of trial and tribulations, the last thing you're thinking of doing is praying.
Right.
And so I have to stop myself, and I have to pray, and I have to give it up. And I will tell you, I'm horrible at that. But it's something I'm constantly turning back to, is prayer. The other thing I need to always put into perspective is God is giving me these challenges to grow.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes I don't understand why these challenges are happening. And I know we were just discussing earlier, it just seems like it doesn't slow down. Like, when is it going to stop? When is there going to be calm? But I do know that I'm learning a lot and I'm growing a lot. And so I've got to be patient and always looking for that growth. And what am I supposed to be learning from it? And also looking for those people, the helpers that God is sending me to get me through it, because he is sending people to help me.
So. Yes. I believe in that promise and that commitment as well. So my final question today, and by the way, I did not know this about you, but because it was made public on social media, it's my honor. It's my honor to be interviewing a former Miss
University of
Central Oklahoma.
Russo School.
Pageant winner.
Yes.
One try, one win. That's a pretty good batting average.
I can't believe it.
That's a good batting average. Well, that was really cool when I found that out about you. That was good stuff. So what do you wish that pageant winner, just a minute ago, what do you wish that pageant winner knew that you know now? So what do you wish young Haley would have known that has cemented here as you are at this point in your career and life?
So I think that what I've learned from, I think I was like 23 and going through college, you know, my main focus at that point had always been to have a successful career. And I was always very driven in everything I did, and success, you know, what measured success. And I always tried to balance, like, what is God's calling or what is his true purpose for me? And so for some reason, I think as a younger person, I thought God's purpose was equivalent to, like, what I was going to do in my life, like, as far as a career. Mm-hmm. Now that I'm older, I have now noticed that actually has very little to do with God's purpose for me. And so I am so honored to have a job that I do think has my passion and love. And I do believe I'm in the right place doing what God wants me to do as far as a career. But I will tell you, I don't think that my purpose is my career now. And I've learned that. And so my purpose is actually to, I believe, be there for people and be there just like those nurses. Although they do not, nobody wants me helping anything medical.
So you're not making application, right? You're okay.
You do not want me doing anything medical. But I do believe that with every interaction that I have with people, it's important for me to listen and pay attention, because I might be that vehicle or that tool that God is using to influence lives. And so I think that's the big learning experience for me from age 23 to now 48.
So. Well, Haley, I wasn't going to have you say your age, but you did it. So
I had given up on that a long time
you.
Ago.
I hear you. Well, I can't tell you how delightful it's been to visit with you. I would just say editorially that Haley is one of the most authentic people I have had the opportunity to work with, and she has always been helpful. And so thank you for helping us out and spending a few minutes sharing some important thoughts. We appreciate you.
I am honored, and thank you so much to all of you, all the care providers. Please continue to do the important work you're doing. Know that you're really making an impact.
And you keep creating those nurse programs, because we need it in the state. So we value that. This has been a great episode. Haley, thank you. This is Stephen Buck signing off from Studio CPO.